Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, go ahead and have a seat tonight as we take some time to look at God's Word together. How many of you, as you're coming into Christmas, might say that you feel a little bit like Charlie Brown? If you've been in my office, you know I love Charlie Brown. In fact, I have a Charlie Brown Christmas tree in my office. I almost brought it and set it up, but it's small enough that I think that the star probably would have blocked it. But if you remember the Charlie Brown Christmas special, it's one of my favorites. As you've watched it over and over and over again, though, you might have forgotten the message. In the Charlie Brown Christmas special, Charlie Brown is so frustrated because everything that he looks at about Christmas is so commercialized. And no matter how hard he tries, he can't find the true meaning of Christmas. Now, if you remember, it builds to that climactic moment where Linus, his friend, says, "Charlie Brown, I know what Christmas is all about." He walks out to center stage and he recites the passage that Cameron just read for us about shepherds, about angels, and about all that God did that night in Bethlehem. Would we be amiss if we took a little bit more time tonight to look at that? I don't think so, and you're a captive audience, so let's do it. All right? Go ahead and open your Bibles with me to the passage that we just looked at. That's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. What I want to invite you to do this evening is, with only 8 days left until Christmas, to take some time to slow down, to catch your breath, and like Charlie Brown needed to do, figure out what Christmas is all about. Now, I am going to make a valiant attempt at keeping this relatively brief. No one has ever accused me of brevity, though, so if we go a little long, it'll be all right. You'll survive it. It'll be okay, all right? But we'll try to get you out in decent time tonight. I want us just to take a few minutes to slow down and pause and look at this passage again. Now, as you've heard, there were shepherds that were there. To give you some background, that passage jumped in right after the baby Jesus has been born. He had been prophesied for hundreds of years leading up to this. There was all of this buildup, all of this fanfare. Then for like 400 years, God had gone silent. And in the first few chapters of Luke, you hear God speaking through these angels about babies that are going to be born. First, well, the one we know is John the Baptist, and then talking about Jesus. And now, in the beginning of Luke 2, we see that Jesus has been born, and the first group of people outside of Mary and Joseph get a chance to hear about this baby. But if you've got your Bibles and you look at the passage, you'll notice there that it begins in verse 8, that in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Now, as they're looking at that, guys, I would say that we have kind of a good idea of what shepherds could be because Jesus sort of redeemed that picture for us. He called himself the good shepherd, right? And so for us, a shepherd is a good thing. But as we look at the angels bringing the message to these shepherds, let me just briefly remind you of who these guys were. Shepherds were gross, okay? They were a smelly group of guys who stayed out in the flocks working hard, and not only were they smelly and gross, they were ceremonially unclean. If you remember, God had given his people all of these rules and laws and regulations that they were supposed to keep up with to be able to come to the temple and worship, just a symbol of how holy God had set them apart and how they were supposed to honor him. And the shepherds couldn't do all of that stuff because they were stuck out in the fields with the sheep, so they were these rough guys. In fact, some sources even tell us that these guys were so shady that their testimony wasn't admissible in court. This is the guys that this angel shows up to. The lowest, the outcasts, the gross, the least expected people possible. This group of shepherds are the first ones to hear one of the most incredible messages in history. Now, I don't know you tonight. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know, as I was praying and thinking about it, you know, I don't know if you're one of those who's stressed out beyond all reason because you got so much to do. I don't know if you've heard the Christmas story a million times or if this is the very first time you've ever heard what Christmas is all about. But I would encourage you, in just a minute, what we're going to do is we're going to look first at the angel's message, just hitting four quick points about what the angel says. And then the second thing we're going to look at is the shepherd's response to that message. And from that, I hope that you'll be able to see how awesome this is and just pause for just a few moments again and remember all that Christmas is all about. Okay? Think we can do that together? All right. Y'all make the nodding sound. It's okay. All right, dive in with me then. First off, let's look at the angel's message, okay? Let's look at what the angel said. Pick up here again, verse 8, it said, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flocks. Verse 9, then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. In Greek, it says that they feared a great fear, which is an appropriate response, okay? At this point, all of a sudden, they look up in the middle of the night, and there's an angel there. Not just somebody that wasn't there a minute ago, but an angel who's reflecting the glory of the Lord. Now, I don't know what the glory of the Lord looks like, but I do know what it's like to have a car that's low to the ground and driving in Southwest Virginia where people seem to lift their trucks and put like searchlights on the front of them for their headlights. All right, for those of you guys who have LED headlights on your truck, as a guy that drives a car, please don't, okay? But I know how terrifying it is to all of a sudden have this big truck roll up behind you with these blindingly bright lights. Can you imagine living in a world where the brightest lights you really had were like that? And then all of a sudden, the glory of God is shining around you and there's this angel. Of course they feared a great fear. That's an appropriate response when that happens. But then look at what the angel says. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth, lying in a manger." Now let's pause right there for just a minute. There is so much that we see in this passage. We could spend hours talking about it, but we're not going to do that tonight. I want to highlight for you four aspects of the angel's message that we need to focus in on. Because he starts off by saying, hey, this is great news. This is good news that should produce great joy. And I've watched people walking out of Walmart this week. Christmas does not seem to be sparking great joy in a whole lot of people. So what is it that we've missed? Let's look back at what the angels told the shepherds that day. We see first off that this baby is, number one, the Savior. The Savior. Now, this isn't just any baby. In fact, when an angel visited Joseph, who was the man who would care for Jesus as his earthly father, he said this. The angel told Joseph, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." So Jesus, that name, Jesus, that we're so used to, means that God will save his people from their sins. This baby was coming to be our Savior. Now, there's something that means. First, if he's coming to be our Savior, that means that we're people who need to be saved, right? See, the Bible says that God created us for a relationship with himself. He created us so that we would know him and that we would walk with him and we would honor him and we would live in all of his peace and his joy forever. But we chose to do what we wanted to do instead of what God told us to do. And the Bible says that's sin. So that means that all of us had sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Because of that, we were all separated from God. And all of human history is us trying to either replace God or get back to that point. And we can't do it. So the angel, when he came and said, "I've got good news that is great joy," said, "This is the Savior, the one who came to save us from our sin." This is fantastic news because every other world religion, including secular humanism, it's all about trying to appease whatever your view of God is, trying to work yourself to some kind of status, trying to make God happy in some way, even if that God is just leaving a legacy. You're trying to do it on your own. And deep down inside, all of us know we can't do it. So the good news that brings great joy is that today there is a Savior who was born for us. One who would come to die and take the penalty for my sin upon himself and be raised from the dead so that I could have new life. So the good news of great joy is that this baby is a Savior. Now that's good news, except when you're an outcast, right? I mean, you can imagine these shepherds. They hear, this is good news. There's a Savior that's been born. Well, that's probably really great news for those real religious folks that are over there in Jerusalem. I bet this will work out really good for them. For the wealthy, for the powerful. No. What does he say? The second thing he says about this baby is not only is there a Savior that's born for you, it's a Savior who's born for you. A Savior who's born for you. Some of you have heard this message so many times that you lose the impact of the reality that there's a God who came to save you. Sean, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. You're exactly right. I don't. But I know that there was a Savior who was born and it declared to shepherds who smelled bad, who acted bad, who treated people bad, and they got to hear that night that a Savior was born for you. See, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. You see, Christmas is all about the fact that this baby we celebrate is Jesus, the one who came to save anyone who will believe in him. I don't care what you've been doing for the last 8 hours before you got to church. Jesus can save you. If you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, this baby that we've got depicted, you can't even see him, I think, because of the poinsettias, but it's okay. There's a little baby up here, right? This baby was God in the flesh who came to save you, to rescue you, to give you hope, to give you peace, to give you joy. That's good news, isn't it? It's for great joy for all the people. For whoever will call on the name of Jesus will be saved. Boy, this is what Christmas is all about, isn't it? This Savior is the Savior who's coming for you. Now, he goes on to tell us, number three, that this is a Messiah. The Messiah. Now, if you're used to hearing Linus say it, you know the Savior who is Christ the Lord. So Christ is the Greek word that's translating Messiah, which is the Hebrew word that means anointed one. And what you're seeing in the fact that Jesus is being born as this baby in Bethlehem is you're seeing God sending the anointed servant that he had said he would send for hundreds of years. God's keeping his promise that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and the very first sin where we have this little indication that one day God was going to send somebody to make it all right. Ever since that moment, all of history is building to this moment. And so when the angel says, this is the Messiah, he's saying, this is the Christ. This is the anointed one. This is the one who's coming to save you, the one who's been promised for years and years and years that all of human history has been building toward. That baby was born for you tonight. That ought to excite us a little bit. Because there was a Savior who's been born for you, and he's a fulfillment of the promise that God made. And hey, guys, he's gonna keep his promises. That's what we see with the Messiah being born. We see God keeping promises that have been waiting for hundreds of years. By the way, that does not mean that God's gonna make everything better in 2024. That doesn't mean that your life is gonna go smooth, and if you just follow Jesus, everything's gonna be perfect. You're gonna be happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's not the promise of Scripture. The promise of God's word, though, is that this baby that was born would one day die on the cross, be raised from the dead, and offers you new life. And one day, he's coming again. Between here and there, by the way, the last thing we see from the angel's message is he's a Savior for you who is Messiah, the Lord. The Lord. In our time where we were kind of touching base before service, Tanner was talking to the worship team, and one of the things he said that was so interesting was, you know, when you think about Jesus as a baby, one of the shepherds could have dropped him. I mean, think about that. The God of the universe humbled himself to become this weak little pink gooey thing. Okay, I'm going to go on record as saying, I don't think babies are cute. I'm just going to say it, all right? Somebody had to say it. Newborn babies look weird, okay? I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. My kids were adorable, okay? But everybody else's. Babies just look weird. I mean, just be honest. The God of the universe became that for us. But while he was that way, that weak, that frail, he was still the Lord. Now, Lord is a word we don't use much in our world anymore, but the idea of Lord is stronger than leader, boss, guide. He is the one who's in charge of everything. You see, the Bible tells us, and this isn't going to be on the screen, but the Bible tells us that after Jesus completed his work on earth, that he was given a name that was above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This baby that couldn't even hold his own head up, this baby that couldn't roll over, this baby is the Lord. This baby who was laid in a feeding trough. Guys, we say manger all the time because that's the word. If you look up a stock picture of a manger, you're either going to find the cute little thing at Christmas or a bird feeder, because apparently it's the French word for bird feeder, okay? Jesus was laid in a feeding trough. We've got enough farms around the area. That's not a pretty sight. He was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Now, that's normal for this day and age. This is what they would do. They'd have strips of cloth where they'd swaddle them up and keep them all tight, you know. And if you've got one of those cool halo blanket things for your newborn where you slide them in, you wrap them up like a burrito. You know, that's what the God of the universe did for us. Now, what's so striking about this is that the Lord, who is the sovereign over all creation, the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who sustains everything, the one who by whom and through whom and for whom all things exist, was in a feeding trough wrapped in just regular strips of cloth. He wasn't in a palace, in a golden crib, wrapped in fine linen or silk. No, he's just there with us. Have you heard that theme throughout our service tonight? That this was God with us? This is good news. This should be for great joy for all of the people. Today, a Savior has been born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, then it goes on to talk about the angels, and as it goes through, it says that the angels came out and they sang. It said, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. So all of a sudden you go from one angel to the whole sky being full of them. The host of heaven is the idea of the army of heaven. Can you imagine what that would have looked like? Can you take that in for just a second? To see and to hear that for just a moment. To hear them declaring glory to God and peace on earth. It's a beautiful moment, isn't it? Now, how do we respond to this? How do we respond to the message that there was a Savior who was born for me, who is the Messiah, the Lord over all creation? What am I supposed to do with that? Let's see what the shepherds did, because I think that's helpful for us. So first we see the angel's message. Second, we see the shepherd's response. Read verses 15 through 20 with me. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Then they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they'd been told. God had spoken to the shepherds by these angels. And as he did, you'll notice kind of three phases that the shepherds went through in the response. First thing they did was they got to work. God told them, this is where I'm at, and that's where they went. They didn't wait around and sit there and say, well, you know, we should probably pray about whether we should go. Angels had just showed up. It was pretty clear. They said, let's go straight to Bethlehem and let's see. So in light of this message, the first thing you and I need to do is respond in obedience. We need to follow. We need to walk after Jesus, whatever that looks like for your life right now. The second thing that you see is when they get to Mary and Joseph, they come and they find them, and then what is it they do? They repeat everything that the angels had told them. You see that they start telling people. This goes back to what Jeff told us last week. If you go on, you read about Simeon and Anna, who we talked about last week. If you remember, Jeff told us that when you've held Jesus close, you can't help but tell everyone in your vicinity about him, right? When you've been close with Jesus, it's going to just overflow in every conversation. That's what we see with the shepherds here. They immediately start telling everybody. So we see that they obey. We see that they start telling everybody about this baby and what they've heard and what God's done in their lives. And then the last thing I think to me is the most interesting. Verse 20, the shepherds returned. The shepherds returned. It's actually the second time we see somebody return in this passage. The first ones that returned were the angels. They came down from heaven, said what they needed to say, and they returned back to heaven. Now you've got these shepherds. They come, they see the baby, they tell everybody about what God's done, and then they go back to work. They go back to the field. They go back home. They go back to their lives. Now, obviously a little tongue-in-cheek, but they didn't go back and get a book deal, right? They didn't go on a speaking tour to tell everybody, here's how you can have your encounter with angels, right? They didn't make a movie. They got back to work. So what are we supposed to do with this message 8 days before Christmas? Get back to work. Go back to school. In your time at the research lab, in your time in the grocery store, your time in the gym, your time in your dorm room, your time in your apartment, your time wherever you are, you go back. But now you notice there's something different when they go back. They go back glorifying and praising God. So here's what we need to do. Our response to the angel's message is that we obey, we tell everybody, and we go back to work. We go back to life. And as we go back to Walmart and the cashiers are just absolutely distraught because they've been yelled at 800 times, we reflect the joy of Christ. We're buying gifts to give to people because God gave us the greatest gift possible in sending Jesus. We have ridiculous amounts of Christmas lights and inflatables because Jesus is the light of the world who came to bring light into the darkness. So during the darkest time of the year, we try to light it up as bright as we can because Jesus has come to bring that light. We go back to what we're called to do, glorifying and praising God wherever we are. Now, here's what I want us to do for just a few minutes. The service is not yet over. But here's what I want you to do. Let's take just a few moments because it's still kind of quiet in here. It's still kind of still. If you're browsing Amazon, put it away for right now. The cutoff for shipping is pretty close, but you're not going to miss it by the next 15 minutes, okay? And stop. Listen again to the words of the angel. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Leave that on the screen for just a minute. This is a time to celebrate that a Savior was born for you. That Savior is the anointed servant of God, who is God Himself in the flesh. Let that truth saturate not just your mind, but your heart and your soul this evening. In the quietness of this moment, bask in the glory of God displayed through a tiny baby, a baby who would one day die on the cross and be raised from the dead, save us from our sin, and rule over all creation. Now, as we prepare to conclude the service, I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. There's at least two more things that we're going to do as we wrap up the service. One, we're going to take up a second offering. During the month of December, we take up two offerings. One of those we've already taken is for our regular tithes and offerings. The second is our holiday missions offering. And everything that comes in through this offering, we go back to give to the partners that we're supporting both locally and around the world who are taking the same message that the angel declared to the shepherds to the places where they're ministering. So as we prepare to give the holiday missions offering in just a minute, we're giving back so that those people can continue to share the gospel of Jesus, this good news, and bring great joy to all the people where they serve. The other thing that we're going to do is sing. We've got one more song tonight that is going to get you focused again on who Jesus is and all that he has done. So what I want to do is I want to invite you, in just a second here, I'm going to invite you to stand and to sing along with the band. Maybe you don't need to sing. Maybe you need to just look at the words. Maybe you need to sit there and pray. Some of our staff are going to be in the back if you want to come back and pray with us. But just take these last few moments before we get out. Remember, today in the city of David, there is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And go out from here in just a few minutes. Back to your houses, back to the store, back to your dorm, back to your apartment, back to wherever you're going. And take this with you. Return, glorifying and praising God. Stand with me and let's pray over our offering and this time.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.